are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, February 4th. And what a weekend of sports. The Pistons on Saturday and the Super Bowl dud. What a disaster for Detroit sports fans. This is your boy, Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thank you for spreading the word to all your NBA junkies about the Locked On Podcast Network and also the Locked On Pistons podcast. We appreciate that. That's how we grow. And today we're going to be, of course, talking about the trade deadline, which is coming up on Thursday. I'm going to run down a couple of the thoughts I have from Saturday's embarrassment at Little Caesars Arena for the Pistons. We're going to be talking about a sourced national report and also a transaction over the weekend that Pistons fans should be upset about in both cases. And we're as if there's not enough to be upset about on the court right now. There's some off the court as well. And we're also going to look ahead to Monday's game, Monday night against the Denver Nuggets, the West leading Denver Nuggets, as if the problems for the Pistons didn't need to be any worse or need to be worse. I don't know. Maybe I got myself all tongue-tied there, but you get what I'm saying, and the Nuggets are in town. But give me a follow, by the way, on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-MattShook as well. The Pistons. Well, you know about it already if you're listening to this show. The Pistons lose 111-101, led by 25 points in the second quarter, led by 23 points with 4 minutes and 21 seconds left in the third quarter. That's right, led by 23 points with 16 minutes and 21 seconds left in the game, and lose by 10. Got blown out, basically. An absolute embarrassment from that point forward. An ugly game. The crowd was booing the Pistons. Just a complete black eye for a franchise that has basically run out of eyes to rough up in these past 10 years. A soft team, a directionless organization, an embarrassment in all senses of the word. Detroit Pistons basketball right now, ladies and gentlemen. But Reggie Jackson, by the way, had one of his best games of the season with 29 points. If you're looking for a silver lining, and God knows we all are at this point, the way he has played for a handful of games, there is one right there. The other huge silver lining has been the season that Blake Griffin has put in together. Although he didn't play particularly well on Saturday, he had 24 points, 11 rebounds, and 6 assists. Too many threes, Blake. I mean, and some of those are ugly misses too. He's missing very wide on a lot of these shots, which is an indication that a shooter is struggling, and he is from three right now. Well, he was on Saturday, 3 of 12 on the night. Reggie Bullock, another bit of a bright spot, especially early when the Pistons were playing well with 19 points on the day. That's enough of the good news from that one because we know there wasn't much. The crew of Bruce Brown, Stanley Johnson, Langston Galloway, and Luke Kennard on the wings combined for 70 minutes of play, 6 points, 2 of 18 shooting, including 2 of 13 from three-point land. Just a nightmare from those guys on the wings. Luke Kennard, in particular, another disaster from him in a couple weeks full of them after it looked like he was turning the corner a little bit with a couple of good games with Andre Drummond out with the concussion. He had a decent offensive night in a meaningless blowout against Milwaukee this week, but last week. But the other five games, his last other five games other than that Milwaukee game, which was a little bit of an anomaly, He has 3.6 points per game in those and is shooting 6 of 29 from the field, which is a good 21% from the best shooter on the Pistons roster. Just when you think this guy is turning a bit of a corner, he basically dives into a grave and disappears, which has basically been his career so far with the Detroit Pistons. And I think it's time. We've been a little soft on Luke Kennard and Pistons Nation and on this show in particular. It's time, Luke. It's time to start playing and time to start consistently performing. Inconsistency seems to be the biggest theme in terms of you're looking for an overall issue that's a problem with this team. And we know that that falls on the players, obviously, first and foremost, but the coaching staff has to fall for a little bit of the culpability of that as well. Starting to think that Luke Kennard is turning into the B word, a little bit of a bust so far into his career, especially looking at Donovan Mitchell, obviously gets paired in with him unfairly because of the Pistons organization. Stan Van Gundy pointed him into that corner by not drafting Donovan Mitchell, but another, you know, a draft full of pretty good players And Luke, shoot the ball. It's the one thing that you've shown that you can do at an NBA level consistently when you do shoot, which you do not. But just save us from this wing misery that we have to watch every night, and go ahead and do the one thing that you're supposed to do consistently. If you can't seem to get the other things working satisfactory enough to stay on the court in any meaningful minutes. But so Luke Kennard on notice here from the Locked On Pistons podcast and from Pistons Nation. I don't think I'm speaking alone here or being the one angry guy. I hear you guys. I think we know that some things need to change with this team and organization big time going forward. But when you're up 25 points and lose the game, some things have to go right for the opposition and some things have to go wrong for you to lose that game by 10 points. Fairly obviously on that point there. But what went right for the Clippers is obvious. Lou Williams completely wrecked the Pistons on the wing. The same useless guys on offense that we just talked about took turns getting taken to school by Lou Williams, who had 39 points off the bench. Now, Lou Williams is a quality NBA player. There's no doubt about it. Scorer, he's done similar things to teams, mostly last season, but also this season as well. But absolutely torched guys like Bruce Brown, who looks like he's regressing defensively, maybe has hit a bit of a rookie wall, and meanwhile has never really made too many strides offensively this year. You wonder if he would have been better served in Grand Rapids this season. Reggie Bullock took his turn getting toasted by by Lou Williams at times. And Stanley Johnson, who's out there primarily and exclusively for his defense, because we know he isn't out there for his offense, he was completely toasted by Lou Williams as well. In addition to Lou Williams killing the Pistons with his offense, they had to have a lot of things go wrong on their own end for the Pistons. And the biggest issue for the Pistons was an absolutely brainless effort from Andre Drummond, who last week took to social media to complain about Nikola Vucevic getting the all-star nod over him in the Eastern Conference, when those of us who follow the NBA and analysts around the league nationally all agree that Nuke Vucevic is having a much better season than Andre Drummond. The Pistons were up 25 points in the middle of the second quarter. Drummond was playing really well. He ended up with 10 points and 10 rebounds in the first half, and at this point had zero fouls when they were up by 25, which is a goddamn miracle in and of itself, given how often that he gets those early dumb fouls. But Drummond was called for his first foul with 5:05 left to go in the second quarter, and the Pistons up by 25 points. Less than 2 minutes later, exactly 1 minute and 53 seconds of on-court time, he had three fouls, all of them clear fouls, all of them unnecessary fouls to be taken at that point. Then, 56 seconds into he comes out for the rest of the first half. Starts the third quarter. 56 seconds into the third quarter, he gets his fourth foul and misses the rest of the third quarter while the Clippers continue to make their comeback. Four fouls at this point in exactly 2 minutes and 49 seconds of court time. So after missing the entire third quarter, basically, he comes in and starts the fourth quarter. 58 seconds into the fourth quarter, he got his fifth foul. Again, five fouls in 3 minutes and 47 seconds of game time. Didn't get back into the game until there was 6:32 left and the game was tied. Ball game over. Thanks for playing, Andre Drummond. Now, credit to Andre Drummond. The Pistons need him out there. That's the biggest lesson that we're taking from this one. He's the second best player on this sorry team right now. But man, and look, and I'll agree with you guys. I know you guys were ripping on the refs quite a bit during that third quarter as I was watching on Twitter until I didn't watch the game till later on. I watched the replay, which you guys should be giving me hazard pay for rewatching that game after I knew which was going to happen, by the way. I get it. The fifth foul in the beginning of that fourth quarter was probably a bad call. But guess what? That's why you get six. And that wasn't the worst call I've ever seen. And I thought it was a foul in real time watching it. Now, slow motion, you bump it back. It probably wasn't a foul. But when you're talking about momentum going in for an offensive rebound, when you're being boxed out fairly by a defensive player, that advantage goes to the inside guy in rebounding all the time. I've seen a lot worse calls than that, but I haven't seen too many dumber fouls than Andre Drummond's first four in the game. He's reaching in at the three-point line and in the backcourt with his team up by 25 points in the second quarter. You've heard of starting pitchers in baseball pitching to the score. If you're up 8-0 in a game, you don't want to start walking guys because you might have a big inning. Just groove one. If they can hit a solo home run, then go ahead and do it. You play to the score. That's part of sports. That's part of being an intelligent professional athlete. You don't need to be reaching in 90 feet away from the basket when your team is up 25 points in the second quarter. And God, is helpful enough to you that you don't have any fouls at this point. You start racking up three and like 2 minutes of action. What are you doing at that point? The only way that the Clippers were going to come back into this game is if there was obviously some sort of offensive outburst from a guy like Lou Williams and either some sort of injury to one of the Pistons' top players or foul trouble to one of the Pistons' top players. You going out there and committing these silly, brainless fouls lets them back into the game. It's sloppy. It's dumb. It's undisciplined. And it's pretty much embodying not just this sorry team from this season, but this ridiculous era that he's been a part of front and center for seven seasons now. He's playing like a rookie right now. And I am not going to, I can't take it anymore. If I got to watch this guy play this way for like 200 more games in 2+ years of Pistons basketball, you're going to have another Locked On Pistons podcast host, or maybe just a show that has a different tenor to it. Because, and again, we'll talk a little bit more about this. The Pistons fall to 22-29 in the season. Somehow, some way, this team is just 2 games out of the playoffs. Almost had the most embarrassing defeat of the season on Thursday night against a freaking G League from the team from the Dallas Mavericks. And then they went ahead and topped that with the Los Angeles Clippers. The sorry display in front of a nice home crowd in Detroit. And unbelievable. This city is just waiting to be included in this exciting brand of NBA basketball, and this team is not delivering. It falls on the new front office, the old front office, the old coach, the new coach, all these players that have gone along this whole terrible ride over these past 10 years. And I'm tired of it, to be honest with you. But the Pistons play tonight against the Denver Nuggets, Tuesday in Madison Square Garden against the New York Knicks. The trade deadline is coming up. 3 p.m. Eastern time on Thursday afternoon. Return home Friday against the Knicks, hopefully with the new look roster in some ways. Feels like a big week for the franchise, and I don't mean on the court. We're going to talk about that next. Up next, the trade deadline move and the sourced report from the weekend that should make Pistons fans furious as the front office twiddles their thumb. But did you get a smart speaker over the holidays? Go ahead and tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On Pistons, and we'll get you the newest, freshest episode of your favorite daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Again, tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On Pistons.
Yes, sir!
And later on, we will talk about the Nuggets tonight, but look, other things are more important for the franchise than this game tonight. The front office should already have their direction and directives ready for this week's trade deadline. So we're talking about that first and foremost this week, and that's how just how it's going to be this week. And look, I'm fired up about this team right now in a negative way, and I'm sorry that the tone is really maybe what you haven't come to expect from the Locked On Pistons podcast in today's episodes, but I don't come on here yelling and spitting fire like the radio shows do every day. So you know that this is coming from a genuine place for me and a serious place as well. And only because I know how important the types of decisions that are made this week, they're ones that could make us continue to sit through this crap for several more seasons in the future, and it's important, and we should feel strongly about it as a fan base. Now, first off, I feel like kind of an idiot because I was on the podcast last week saying maybe, just maybe, and I didn't wholeheartedly believe it, but I was kind of sticking up for owner Tom Gores as the context that maybe he wasn't one of the worst owners in the NBA or in professional sports. There have been rumors for many years that he's meddled in the personnel decisions too much, specifically as it relates to Andre Drummond and his kind of relationship and buddy-buddy affinity that he has for him. Well, to me, those were pretty much verified. And I can't stand by Tom Gores anymore in that context because I wasn't sure about it, but now I feel like I'm sure about it, especially when the guy that, you know, Gores vouches for is the same guy who gives maximum effort, you know, like every now and then. And when he does, he's too often making dumb rookie mistakes on the court like he did on Saturday. Now, Mitch Lawrence, a writer for SportingNews.com, for whatever that publication even exists anymore, which is not much. It was a legacy publication that meant a lot to sports fans like myself growing up, but they don't even have a print edition anymore. It was more of a baseball publication. But they've got a little website that Mitch Lawrence writes for. And he's also a radio host on SiriusXM. He writes for Forbes.com. And he had a report at the end of last week on Friday that said, quote, "When Stan Van Gundy was in power as team president, twice he found a trading partner for Drummond and was set to send him out of town, only to have Gores kill the deals," said someone familiar with both deals. "According to league sources, the Pistons haven't shopped or taken calls on Drummond," end quote. Now, as a fan, the fan part of me, this kills me, because back when Stan was running the show, Drummond actually had more value than he does now. So thinking back to a Stan Van Gundy trade for Drummond, especially if it was last season in year two of or his second All-Star year, he was more well-regarded around the league, and now that perception has dipped in this season. And I'm a journalism guy, so I'm not crazy about things like someone familiar with both deals, quote-unquote. But let's connect the dots a little bit here. Mitch, he put that report up online on Friday night. Then Saturday morning, who was a guest on his radio show for SiriusXM NBA? Stan Van Gundy. So I'll give you a couple of guesses about who his source is for that report that he put out on Friday. Now, he was also the guy, or not who his source is, but who his source was connected to. I don't know for a fact that it was his source. But obviously, Stan Van Gundy didn't read that on Friday and say, the hell with this guy, I'm not going on his radio show. So you can pretty much connect the dots a little bit there. Now, he was also Mitch Lawrence, the guy who reported on last March 1st, last spring, well, I guess last winter, that Stan Van Gundy's job was in jeopardy last year. It was a few weeks after last year's trade deadline and obviously a few months before he was eventually let go, actually about a month or so, month and a half before the season ended, and he was let go a couple weeks after the season ended last year. And we know how bizarre that whole time period was as people who follow the Pistons every day. But my guess is that Stan Van Gundy put a Drummond package together at the trade deadline, and maybe that was the second of two during Stan Van Gundy's time with the Pistons. Gore steps in, says no, pushes for the Griffin trade instead, or maybe that was something that Stan Van Gundy was interested in too as well. But then Stan Van Gundy looks at the roster that he has with Drummond as a centerpiece of it, supposedly, and says he would rather not be in the organization than to have the autonomy that he feels like he should have, and I feel like he should have, as president of this team. So then he goes ahead, and again, I'm connecting dots here. I don't know this for a fact. I'm not reporting it. But then he could use that leverage that he has as the coach GM. That's his one contract that he has, forcing Gore's hand to fire him instead of just coaching out the last season, which it seems like that's what Gore's wanted him to do. Coach out the last season, rip up this contract as far as your GM or presidential duties, and just coach this team. So that was kind of the standoff that was happening last year, is what it seems, before he was eventually fired when the two couldn't come up to a side. And from Stan Van Gundy's perspective, he says, hey, I'm going to accept this $7 million of his final year of coaching or not being president and not coaching or whatever the settlement was that they ended up having. Take the year off, be on TV, be a media darling, and maybe come back to coaching next season. So in essence, that's Gore's not letting the people he hired do their jobs, all because of a strange attachment to a player that nobody really thinks is that valuable when you think about it. And again, there are his defenders out there, and there is value to Andre Drummond, don't get me wrong. But again, and I heard about the rumors before about Gore's connection to Drummond, but to me, this is a legit report that verifies that Tom Gore is letting his personal relationship and affinity for an employee impact the direction of the franchise. And to me, this is kind of a last straw. And maybe I'm with it. Maybe I finally see the light. Maybe I'm with you guys, and that we may be giving up on Tom Gore's in terms of being the right owner for this team. And there's nothing we can do about it, really, but that's just my opinion. And given the way that he behaves, obviously an odd guy, as billionaires seem to usually be, who appears to have, and let's be nice about it, and let's just say maybe some personal issues about how he conducts himself repeatedly every time he's at these home games. Mine goes to some weird places about why he might feel so strongly about the guy. Maybe someone knows something about something. But and I don't know, but it is strange. It's very strange, a very strange situation all the way around. And kind of equally infuriating was on Sunday, the trade the Pistons didn't make over the weekend. And when it came over, I tweeted about it, and you knew I was going to talk about it here on the show today. If you listen to this podcast recently, I talked about the Portland Trailblazers and how that would be potentially a suitor for Reggie Bullock. They need bench scoring. They're in a tough Western Conference. They need to step things up a little bit if they're going to get over the hump that they're kind of running up against in the playoffs every year. They're up against the cap as well. So an expiring contract and the bird rights that you would have for Reggie Bullock and being able to re-sign him without hurting, while still being able to go over the cap for it, that would be something that would be very valuable to them. And they also have some young assets, some small contracts, and picks that they would be able to part with. Well, it turns out I was right. But instead of dealing for the better Reggie Bullock, or very, very similar Reggie Bullock comparison compared to your flavor in this comparison, Portland instead gave a nice, attractive package to the Cleveland Cavaliers on Sunday for Rodney Hood. Hood, he makes $3.5 million a year, a full $1 million less than Reggie, or I'm sorry, more than Reggie Bullock makes for this season. He goes to Portland for a pair of second round picks in the future and the expiring contracts of young players Nick Stauskas and Wade Baldwin IV. Or in other words, what I like to think of it as, the perfect package for what the Pistons should be seeking out for Reggie Bullock, short of anything like a first round draft pick, which, you know, could be out there if teams get desperate come closer to Thursday. Now, Hood is a pretty good player. He will help the Blazers, but he's probably more of a creator, which is maybe what they needed for their second unit. So I don't know if Bullock would have necessarily been a perfect fit, but certainly the type of player that they're looking for, the type of production that they're looking for that package, the same exact age. But Bullock shoots it better than Rodney Hood from three, and we know that that's obviously a desired thing around the league. Portland is no different there. And Hood probably has a few more offensive tools in his toolbox than Bullock does all around. And Hood's more proven. But again, these are very similar players. And I'm not going to sit here and act like Wade Baldwin and Nick Stauskas are the next big thing, or that they missed out huge on two no-brainer talents. But these are guys who are former lottery picks who fit specific needs for the Pistons. Baldwin would give you the ability to trade Ish Smith for a couple second-round picks or whatever at the deadline that you can get for your best offer, not feel like you have to play Jose Calderon as the backup quarterback. And even one, you know, quality second-round pick would be enough for me to part with Ish Smith this trade deadline. You can try out Baldwin as your backup point guard. If you don't end up moving Ish, maybe you can keep him on as your third-string point guard. Say thanks but no thanks to Jose Calderon, and he could be on his way. Baldwin is 22 years old. He was a first-round pick out of Vanderbilt in 2016. Obviously a guy who hasn't done much in the NBA or hardly anything, but certainly a guy who has had the ability to be a mid-first-round pick coming out of school. And also, if you do that trade, you get Stauskas, you can move Kennard up in the rotation for Bullock's minutes, really put it to Kennard and say, hey, it's your time. Go out and do it. Roll the balls out to him. And also give Stauskas, not Bullock minutes, but, you know, a chance to play in the rotation of these horrible wings that the Pistons have. Memphis gave up on Baldwin very quickly, just one season, but he battled his way back into the league after signing a two-way deal with Portland. Baldwin's just kind of a perfect upside, no downside guy. Basically like the reverse of the Pistons giving up on Dinwiddie before it was prudent to do that. Now they're paying for that, obviously, these days. Stauskas, on the other hand, a Michigan guy, obviously that helps with the fan base, was the eighth pick in the 2014 draft, still just 25. We knew in college how well he shot it, how much he improved throughout his career in Ann Arbor. In the NBA, he shot 40% from three last year for two teams. Struggling a little bit, down to 34% this year, but obviously a shooter that you could see having a long career in the NBA, exactly the kind of flyer that the Pistons need to make, the kind of player they should be looking for in some of these deadline deals. You don't have full or early bird rights for Baldwin or Stauskas, but there are bird exceptions that make it more likely for those guys to sign and get raises that wouldn't hurt the Pistons cap as much going forward. They can get 120% of their extremely affordable cap hits, which are right now at like in the mid 1.5s or something like that. And you'd only have to take this year's cap hit for the Pistons. So basically what I'm saying is those guys would get more money if you re-upped with them, if you like what you saw with this tryout the rest of the season. And they could stay on as minimum guys against the cap for the Pistons. So it's an arrangement that works well for both parties. And in addition to that, without even talking about the two second-round picks that they threw into this deal to Cleveland, a team that very wisely stepped in there. Now, the Pistons, you have the 2019 second-round pick, but then you go like 4 years without having a second-round pick because Van Gundy felt the need to throw second-round picks at Jameer Nelson and James Ennis, and then the Kyrie Thomas trade ended up losing the Pistons a future second-round pick to a prudent one there. But still, your cupboard's bare with second-round picks going forward, which are assets that could help you, if not just players that could help you going forward. Now, Sunday I went back after this report happened and listened again to the conversation with Ed Stefanski from the Wired podcast with Matt Derry. And Matt's great. He has the Locked On Lions show. You guys should check that out. And also checked out Wired too. But keep in mind that Wired is a podcast that's put out the Pistons, by the Pistons. So please kind of understand that. And I'm not hating on it. I'm just stating the fact in case you don't understand how that particular one works. Now, Ed Stefanski, a couple weeks ago in that interview, said the Pistons are probably going to wait right up until the deadline to decide their course of action when asked about players like Reggie Bullock coming up for Thursday. Now, since that interview, the Pistons escaped against New Orleans without Anthony Davis, the game that Blake Griffin called out his teammates for a lack of focus. Then they lost at Dallas, got drilled by Milwaukee, and almost lost to the Dallas G League, and then had one of the most embarrassing nights in recent franchise history on Saturday. So what are you waiting for right now? Make your move. While Cleveland's getting out there, making this right, correct move, the Pistons are sitting there doing nothing. And in terms of what I think, I'm still on board with the big swing to try to put some talent around Blake Griffin for the next couple of years before he gets out of his prime, and then you retool everything else around him, and now suddenly your star is no longer a star. But if you can't do that, I say that you go ahead, and even along with that, actually, if you take a swing on a Conley type, I still think you got to move these expiring guys and get what you can for some of these guys, unless it's a ridiculously low ball of an offer, which indicated with what Portland gave up for Rodney Hood, I would say that it's not going to be too much of a low ball offer. I think there's going to be offers out there. I think there's still an opportunity for teams like Oklahoma City, who might be interested in Reggie Bullock, and I think the Pistons should explore those options heavily. And as I pointed out on Twitter, I don't think it's prudent to keep Reggie Bullock for the purpose of signing him long term for like a $10 million a year contract going forward, when the only young players that you have that are worth a damn on the Pistons roster are three guys who play Reggie Bullock's position. You have to let Luke Kennard play. You have to let Bruce Brown and Kyrie Thomas play. And I know it hurts to lose Reggie Bullock's shooting. We all like Reggie Bullock as a player, but he'll be less valuable under that big contract that he deserves to sign this summer. And you still have to plug other holes with whatever mechanisms that you have, the biannual exception, the mid-level exception. I just think that you could use that cap space in a more important way. It would hurt to lose Reggie Bullock, certainly, but it's a deal they have to make. And I believe that Portland's package shows that that deal is out there for these Pistons to go ahead and make. But is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? Your company can be mentioned right here, right now on Locked On Pistons. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with the sponsors that they hear on their favorite show. Our demo is 98% males with more education and more earning power than traditional media audiences. So have your company sponsor Locked On Pistons. Go ahead and email me at matt_shook@yahoo.com to find out more. Now next, we're going to talk about those Western Conference leading Nuggets who are in Detroit. There is basketball to talk about here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Now the Nuggets coming in town, 7 o'clock at Little Caesars Arena tonight. Gary Harris, the former Michigan State player and budding star for the Denver Nuggets, he is out for tonight's game against Detroit. Although Jamal Murray, who his backcourt mate, who has also missed the last few games, he's been upgraded to questionable, according to some of the Denver media late on Sunday night. So check for the 1:30 p.m. update on that. I'll pass that along on Twitter on Monday afternoon. But the Nuggets right now tied with the Golden State Warriors for the best record in the Western Conference. Coach Michael Malone, son of former Pistons assistant Brendan Malone, will coach the Western Conference All-Stars, kind of a lifer that other coaches are happy to see in these kind of positions right now. Just a team that I don't think this is a serious championship contending team right now, but they're one that could prove guys like me wrong this spring, and we will see if that happens. Nikola Jokic is their main player. He's their center. He made the All-Star team. Well-deserved right now, probably on the fringes of the MVP candidate race right now, and could, with a strong finish the season, end up maybe on an All-NBA first team. If he does pretty well, obviously there's the superstars out there like Giannis and LeBron and James Harden who probably stand in the way of an MVP season for him. But Jokic had a triple-double the other night in Minnesota. He's throwing full-court passes in the clutch in close games. And if you're looking at that center matchup tonight between Jokic and Drummond, it will be a stark disparity. So enjoy that. The Nuggets come in a 6-game winning streak and have won 8 of their last 9, one of the hottest teams in basketball. Don't really see a path for the Pistons to win, although maybe if Murray and Harris are both out, obviously the chances for the Pistons increase quite a bit there. But it could get ugly in Detroit tonight, especially with a crowd and a fan base that I feel like is kind of at their breaking point, kind of at wit's end, especially after Saturday, especially really after Thursday too. This is the second of a 4-game road trip for the Nuggets tonight. They won a close one at Minnesota on Saturday. Denver's going to come in at 4 or 4.5-point favorites as I tape this early on Monday morning. So maybe check that one out before after the injury report comes out. It might change a little bit. So we're not much on the Nuggets tonight, as we talked about the trade deadline stuff ad nauseum today. So, but leave it up. I want to hear from you guys, the Google Voice line, the trade deadline stuff, all the opinions I threw out there tonight or today. Wonder if we maybe lost some fans with my candor. Or maybe I It struck the right chord with some of you guys. We'd like to hear what you think. Leave your name and where you live on a voicemail by calling 810-666-1546. Again, that's the Google Voice line. Use your name and where you're from at 810-666-1546. Leave a voicemail under 2 minutes, and we'll play that on the show this week. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Appreciate all the interaction with you guys on social media. Appreciate you for being along for the ride here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, and we will talk to you guys tomorrow.